Heather Kizzo is a mom of three children. She's married to a music-loving dentist husband, Tony, for 19 years. She has been creative all her life and first obtaining a cosmetology license right out of high school. And then she worked as a stylist and assistant for a local photographer. During this time, she began utilizing social media to build her brand and ultimately be very successful at the network marketing business. Currently, she's in the beginning stages of opening a venue here in town. And if you stop by her house, you'll probably catch her family in a dance party. Let's talk to Heather. Hi friends, you've made it to Karina Faith Diaries, your new go-to spot for real talk about the journeys that shape our faith. I'm Karina, your host, and I'm super excited to chat about real life struggles, wins, and everything in between. This is all about honest conversations, lifting each other up, and the power of a relationship with Jesus. Whether you're here to learn, connect, or to get inspired, let's get started together. Welcome back, you guys. Today we have Heather here, and she has a great story to tell. So we are going to dive right in, and welcome, Heather.
Thank you for having me.
Of course. Tell us a little bit about you. Who is Heather?
Who is Heather? Gosh, I think my initial response would be a wife, mom, serial entrepreneur. I am very much a creative. I love mission work. I have been through many ups and downs in life, but one thing that has always remained steady was my walk with Christ. I grew up in the church. My relationship with the Lord really started to become more of a relationship once I got married and started having kids. That was really early on. I think up until that point, it was more just like following rules.
Okay.
And, you know, it wasn't until I was facing things that obviously I had never faced before, you know, adulthood and marriage and having a kid. And it was such a learning process, but that was really when I was able to just start diving into the word and really understanding what it means to walk with Christ.
So do you think that that's where it's like a big pivot? Like once you dive into the word, that's your life changes with Christ. Do you?
Yes. And I think it's just like something that my dad would always say was Bible meant your basic instructions before leaving earth.
I love that.
So he was like, if you ever have a question or if you ever are confused, you'll find your answer there. Mm-hmm. At first, it was kind of just like you read a scripture and you're like, how in the world? Mm-hmm. What does this even mean?
Yeah.
You know, as your walk grows deeper and your relationship grows deeper, those words actually become applicable to your life mm-hmm. and your seasons. And that's just part of like the spiritual growth.
Sure. Yeah. In Revelation too, right? I mean, we're taught now, I never knew this growing up, but once I was an adult and started going to church and learning more about God, we should ask for revelation from the Holy Spirit when mm-hmm. we open the word, and the word will come to life for us.
Yes.
Right? So I think there's a difference because a lot of people struggle with opening the Bible. Oh, gosh, I can't understand anything. Mm-hmm. I completely relate to that. I could not understand anything either. But it will. It will make sense if you keep on showing up and reading it. So you grew up in church. Your entire family were Christians then?
Yes.
To me. So you guys were just in a church that was more rule-based, or is it just
It was Baptist.
Where did you find your husband? Did you...
So we actually met in Alaska.
Oh, wow.
I'm a military brat. So I moved around a lot and was very much, you know, had to adapt to change. And but he was also in the military. So I ended up there because my dad was stationed there. We actually met the day before he left for Afghanistan. And I had a pretty serious boyfriend at the time, but he was being deployed with his roommate, who was my best friend's boyfriend. So there was that connection, and it was kind of one of those like, hey man, like, nice to meet you, good luck.
Wow. You know? Going to war.
So you know, I didn't really think anything of it, but during that time he was receiving, or he wasn't receiving, but his friend was receiving letters and pictures from my best friend, and I happened to be in many of them. And he just started asking a lot of questions about me and was like, I'm gonna marry that girl when I get home.
What?
And, like, which is so such a wild thing.
What a prophetic man.
He was like, that's my wife. And so we became really good friends when he came back. It was like instant connection, best friends, hung out all the time. And in less than a year, we were dating, engaged, and married.
What? Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh. So then you guys got married and then started having kids?
Yes. I got married at 19, had my first kid at 20.
Okay.
So we just had to grow up really fast.
Oh boy. Yes.
I knew I wanted to be a mother. I definitely was on a 5-year plan.
Uh-huh.
But you know, God had other plans for us.
So was I. I know.
It's like, just let's do this. Yeah. He's like, why wait?
Yeah.
You got this.
Yeah. Wow. At 20.
Yeah.
So tell us a little bit about your testimony then from then on.
I think in my early 20s, I was really selfish. You don't know how selfish you are until you're in a place where you really need to let go of that. And, you know, obviously compromise and partnership in a marriage and then having a kid that's like rips you of any kind of selfishness that you are holding on to. We got into moments where it was just like rock bottom. And all we could turn to was the Lord because we just had no other answers. Mm-hmm. We, you know, just like financially struggling.
I mean, so young.
Yeah.
And having kids.
Yeah. And, you know, trying to be responsible and still like finish college and going, working while we're going to school and raising babies. Like it was just all really, really hard. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you just get... I remember thinking like we are in such a dark place and so isolated from everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And
were your friends not having babies at that point?
No, we were like in such a different season than anyone that we had been previously close to. And it was just a really dark space. And I remember like the only way to survive was to basically cut out our social life. Mm-hmm. And that was kind of like my lifeline always. So we were just like in a really dark place and, you know, that causes, you know, financial problems cause tension in a marriage. You know, any kind of mm-hmm. stress and anxiety causes tension in a marriage. Lack of sleep.
Yeah. So
and, you know, we're just like, it just feels like that part of our life is just a black blur.
Mm.
But by the grace of God, like, I don't remember that, you know, it's not something that I dwell on. It's not something that I feel has affected me negatively mm-hmm. later in life. If anything, it just helps me encourage others who are in that season. Like, don't wish that time away.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think as young moms or, you know,
we tend,
that's like, aren't like, well, once they're this age, it's going to be easier, you know? And
that is so true.
Yeah. One thing that I took away from that, she's like, don't wish the time away because you're in that season for only that season.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter how hard it is, like the Lord is so faithful and he, you know, put you in that season for a reason and it's going to shape your future.
It will. That just makes me emotional because I remember with my kids, it was so hard. I had 3 under 3
mm-hmm.
and it was just the hardest times of my life. I did not want to give up my social life or anything else. So I just kept going. I was fortunate enough to be home, you know, and my husband was the solo, you know, breadwinner. So he held things, but I hated it. I hated being mm-hmm. home. I really wanted to. And he's like, well, it's cost more for us to put them in daycare. Like, I don't care. Yeah. I don't want to be here all day long. Mommy, 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 mommy. It was so hard. Mm-hmm. And I had no adult interaction until he got home and he was tired.
Mm-hmm.
And I would just be like, be with them. I would go to the garage, call my mom, get a bottle of wine and just smoke cigarettes.
Yeah.
Oh, like, you know, for hours on end. And it's such a sad life, but I was so wishing that away. Mm-hmm. Just like, I can't wait for them to grow up. And now that I'm wiser, hopefully.
Yeah.
I'm just like, boy, what a waste of, you know, time. Like, I could have really enjoyed and embraced that mm-hmm. and be. And I did. It wasn't like always like this, but I remember being just so exhausted from all of it and, mm-hmm. and just. And being a mom is truly the hardest, especially a stay-at-home mom. The hardest job that you can ever.
It is so hard. It almost like it rips you from your identity, like you said. Like mm-hmm. it's hard to like not have the social life or not be pursuing your career or mm-hmm. whatever.
You're like a pause, right?
Yeah,
you have just to wait.
You're sucked into this like motherhood vortex, and you know it can get really dark. Mm-hmm. And that's just like my biggest encouragement is like, just take a breath and don't wish that time away, because it really does go so fast.
Yeah, it does. I mean, do you feel like maybe finding some support groups, right? Like other moms, mm-hmm. like that were doing things together.
Yeah, and that actually was also a challenge for me, because mm-hmm. I did try to put myself out there and do like Mom's Day Out or like mm-hmm. Muffins with Mom, whatever it was. Mops, I don't remember. But they... the mothers were significantly older than I was.
Oh,
you know, like 10, 15 hard. Years older. Our kids were the same age, but it like was hard to connect, because I'm like,
yeah.
I'm 21. Yeah. Like, you know, it was just really hard. So it was just a season of feeling very alone.
Mm-hmm. Did you ever lose faith at that point? At some point?
I would have to say yes. I probably can't like pinpoint, because it did, like I said, it's like a season of blur.
Sure.
But I know that there were definitely times where I was just like, you know, God doesn't see me.
Yeah.
Like, why is this my life? Mm-hmm. You know, even just saying that out loud is like so disheartening, because mm-hmm. I like would not trade anything like for to not be a mother. Like, mm-hmm. you know, I know that that's such a gift, and my kids are so special to us, but it doesn't negate how hard.
Oh, absolutely.
Hard it is to be a parent.
Yeah. And I feel the same way too. It's like the best gifts ever in the world, but the hardest, mm-hmm. you know, times too. So
yeah.
What's easy is not always the best, mm-hmm. right? Okay, so you guys navigated that. And mm-hmm. then how did you come out? What was the end of that season?
So I think getting us through school and, or at least my husband, he's now a dentist, and finding like our footing and like having a more clear vision of what our future looked like, because I think so much was just unknown and unpredictable, and we were literally leaving like living day to day. It was like,
yeah,
you know, I don't even know what tomorrow, what we got to focus right now, because mm-hmm. that's just like, you know, we're just yeah. above treading water. So I think, you know, time and learning and just resilience
mm-hmm.
and you know, our future looked a lot clearer. I won't say it's gone as we've had planned, because, you know, that's just God.
Yeah. Yes, of course.
But it having like a more intentional like purpose, I guess,
mm-hmm.
made it feel like the light at the end of the tunnel.
Yeah. So how did you guys get there? Like from that, where you were like...
I think a lot of it was just pouring ourselves like into ministry, you know, not just ministry within the church, but we also started doing mission trips
okay.
together and other like mission work. That was something we even talked about when we were dating, was like, what do you see like doing with your family and, you know, long term, and like, what does your life look like? And we both were like, mission work is like on our hearts, and I want our kids to be a part of that. And so I think that's kind of what fueled us mm-hmm. was yeah, just diving into service of others.
That's awesome. You guys started serving at a church, at a local church, mm-hmm. and growing in there.
Yeah, we have been leading worship together, gosh, since probably 2 years into our marriage.
Wow.
So that's like...
That's so cool to have 16, that in common, 15, 17 too.
17 years.
Yes.
It's really been so special, and I think it really has gotten us through some really hard times, even if we didn't realize it at, you know, at the time,
mm-hmm.
that was a special connection and a place where we could both enter the presence of the Lord together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And have your kids be a part of that mm-hmm. too. Just yeah. being connected. That's so
cool. And they're actually, so they're very musically inclined too. They're okay. very talented. And my son actually is part of the worship team as well.
Oh,
my daughter has a beautiful voice, but she has incredible stage fright.
So yeah.
she's not there yet, but
she will be brave.
Yeah,
right?
But it's one thing to be a part of ministry and serve, but to see your kids do that is like
next level.
It's a whole nother, yeah, like it's just unimaginable and unexplainable, but it's just the level of pride that is just, yeah, like you're like, if I've done nothing else right, at least they love the Lord they want to serve. Like,
yes, no, that is huge too. I totally relate with that, because my youngest is really on fire for Jesus right now, mm-hmm. and he's like making his lifelong mission to just go and evangelize his friends, and he's be really connected with the other like-minded, you know, people, and to me, when I pray to for like my list of wishes, I'm like, but God, the best thing and the most important thing is that my kids love you, yeah. and they already do. And so if nothing uh-huh. else comes from you, that's, I already have the biggest thing, yes. you know, because it is just so, it just makes you feel like mm-hmm. all of those moments of darkness, all yeah. the hard work right. paid off, right?
Oh, for sure. And I remember so many times where the Lord was teaching me something through my children. Mm-hmm. And like, I remember a conversation I had with my oldest when he was maybe 6 or 7 years old. It was when he was kind of understanding the gospel and like, you know, Christ died for our sins. Like, why did he do that? He was asking me really deep questions. And he was like, Mom, like, why wouldn't everyone tell everyone about that?
Yeah.
Like, why are there people that don't know, essentially? Mm-hmm. And it lit this fire in me, like, oh my gosh, like, I want to have that, like, childlike faith, like, unapologetic, like, tell everyone and anyone. And, you know, it kind of was, like, convicting for me. I'm like, why doesn't my 7-year-old get it? And here I am, you know, what am I doing?
Yeah.
So there's been so many moments where they have said things or asked questions that really, like, put a stirring in my heart. They have taught me a lot without even knowing it.
That's amazing. So I've heard that you're quite the entrepreneurial spirit, mm-hmm. and you have done a few things in your life.
Yes.
So tell us a little bit about the journey and so what happened.
I experienced a very traumatic miscarriage. The pregnancy itself was very unexpected, you know, because it was 10 years later and we were not planning for that. So it was kind of a shock, but in the process opened a wound that I didn't know I had. And like, then I had this desire to have another child. Wow. And seemed quite crazy because, you know, our kids at the time were, you know, 6 and 8.
So you're like starting all over.
Starting all over. So then that opened up conversations with my husband, and you know, it's like, you kind of panic a little, mm-hmm. because yes. I'm like, why am I feeling this way? Why are we starting over? And then, you know, before we could even decide, yeah, we want to move forward with or not, mm-hmm. I got pregnant again.
Oh, wow.
So, and it was really, really challenging because that pregnancy, I was just nervous and fearful because of what I had just been through. And like, I don't think I like had time to mentally prepare.
Mm.
So it was just, it was a really hard pregnancy. I was very sick, very stressed. And I, even up to like being 8 months pregnant, I was like refraining from like being excited.
Oh, wow.
Because I was just like, something's going to happen. Something's going to go wrong.
I'm sorry.
And I remember I was cooking dinner and I just started crying because I just felt the presence of the Lord so greatly. And he was like, your baby's name is Jasper and he is a treasure. Sorry. But it was so vivid. And then we ended up naming him Jasper. I was like, that's his name.
Wow.
Yeah. So he is such a gift. But I actually dealt with really bad postpartum depression,
mm-hmm.
which I didn't realize what it was because I'd never been through it. I just was like, I'm a crazy person. You know, and then I was like, maybe I don't remember what motherhood was like, yeah. you know, like having a newborn.
So you didn't have that, like, with the other two?
No, I didn't. Okay. And so I was just like, maybe this is just like having a new baby, you know, like that's just life now. Like I was just like very much not feeling like myself.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted the best of both worlds, which is I did want to be home with him, but I also wanted to like have my own identity outside mm-hmm. of the home. And that's kind of where I started to dive into like entrepreneurship and just, you know, utilizing social media to yeah. build a business. And it got me out of those dark spaces
mm-hmm.
for quite a while until I was like forced to face it, if that makes sense. Like mm-hmm. it hid my problems. It like helped me suppress.
You were trying to mask it with
yes.
something exciting
yes.
and not really resolving your
right.
problems.
Because I thought it was just like, oh, I'm in a funk kind of thing.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, I didn't realize how deep that darkness and like my issues were
wow.
until probably 3 years later. And I was having these like really scary, I call them pre-suicidal thoughts, because it's like, I'm like, I would just be staring off into space and be like, I wonder if anyone would miss me if I wasn't here. Oh, you know, like things like that. And then that really scared me.
Yeah.
And I was just like, where is this coming from? Like, I'm so loved. I have a beautiful family. My business is thriving. Like, but it was like, it was just complete darkness, mm-hmm. but it was like such a wake up call. And I finally like told my husband, I was like, something's wrong. Like, I need help.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Good for you. Yeah. That takes courage.
And it is. It was, I remember thinking like, I've watched other people walk through this and not get help. I'm not going to be that person. Mm-hmm. And I want to be able to heal from this mm-hmm. and speak life into it for anybody else. Like, you're not crazy.
Yeah.
You are not crazy. This is something real. This is something that's happening to your body and your mind. And it is, you know, you're not a crazy person. This happens with sin too. Like, once you speak it mm-hmm. and like give it less power, mm-hmm. then you can start that healing process. And like, you know,
I was going to say that as like, I'm glad that you didn't entertain that thought, because mm-hmm. I feel like that thought is definitely from the enemy. Mm-hmm. But a lot of us, you know, entertain that just like sin. Like you said, if you entertain that, you're going to end up going in there. But if you just quickly be like, hey, this is not from God. This is not God's, you know, that's not what he wants for my life. Right. And so quickly get out of this. Mm-hmm. Then you can find help and try to heal. And speaking, I do agree too. It's like confess your sin to another mm-hmm. person and then you can heal together. Okay, so then you got involved in this, you know.
Yeah,
this
so I was a part of network marketing, which was, it kind of all did flow because I went to cosmetology school right out of high school. So I was a hairstylist. And then I worked for a local photographer as a stylist and assistant. And then it was a hair care company. So it kind of all just like piggybacked. Yeah, piggybacked off of each other. And it just made sense. And then I built with that brand for 7 years. It was a very successful, very lucrative business. And then probably 2 years ago, I started to feel very like unsettled. Mm. It was like little nuggets here and there, but then over time I started to realize I was like ignoring my moral compass, I guess. Mm. Like it wasn't things I was personally doing, but I was like turning a blind eye to things.
Yeah.
And you know, there were certain things that happened. I just no longer aligned with the company, the practices, and a lot of the leadership. Mm. And I ignored it for a very long time because the paycheck was really good.
I was going to say, it's hard.
Yeah. And it's really hard to consider starting over. Mm-hmm. You know, when you build something for so long and it's so successful, just the idea of just like being like, this isn't for me anymore is like mm-hmm. very daunting.
Very scary, yeah.
God has never slammed doors so hard in my face ever. And I think these last few years have really taught me what like full surrender means. You know, there's a difference between like what you think of like, oh, I give up, I surrender, like wave the white flag. But it was more like just fully relying on God to walk me through that and being very intentional daily to choose that surrender. Mm. It's not just, you know, laying down and being a doormat. It's like, you know, you're
actively
like God's holding your hand and carrying you through it. You're actively, it still requires action.
You still need to do it. Yes. He's not going to go in there and say it for you.
Yeah. Right. So it was getting out of some toxic relationships, toxic work environments. You know, I definitely lost some friendships and became the villain in a lot of people's story. Oh. I know my heart and my intentions, but mm-hmm. that's not always going to be something that someone receives.
Yeah.
Because I know they were hurt too. Mm-hmm. You know, that I
by decided, you leaving?
Yeah.
Okay.
It was hard for me to not make it personal because it was personal for them.
You just woke up one day, then you decided, I need to do this. You had this.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, it kind of had like built up over time and then it was starting to affect my marriage and just, you know, just how I acted in general.
Wow.
Like, there was so much stress and anxiety and I started to kind of like quiet quit almost. Mm. Like I just like retreated. I was like, I'm just not going to do anything.
Not but gonna that take meetings.
Yeah, I was like, that which wasn't the answer either because there was a lot of people that relied on me and trusted me. Once I was like, okay, Lord, like, I'm listening. Mm-hmm. Like, I just every day was very intentional about just being quiet. And I just remember so vividly being like, you're putting me in a box. Mm. Like, there's more. There is more. And
him telling you that?
Yeah. Like, okay. I think that I was like, okay, it has to happen like this. I'll leave like this. Mm. You know, like.
Yes.
And you come up with all these, like, scenarios. And it was just like, no, you know why you're feeling convicted. That's what you need to speak up about. Yeah. And, you know, it all happened really fast once I decided, like, this is not the direction the Lord wants me to go. I need to step away. And it was like, bam, 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 you know, just all the doors shut to that chapter. And it was just like, okay, now that is literally gone. Like, those people don't want to speak to me anymore. Like, all of that. And it was so very hurtful. You know, it was, there was a lot of pain that I was working through.
Because you had a lot of friends in that business, too.
Yeah, a lot of friends in the business. But there was another opportunity. And I wasn't looking for a new opportunity in that field. But it did catch my attention because of a mission trip that they were talking about sending their people on. And I'm like, that's so unique for a network marketing company to be doing that.
Yeah.
So it definitely piqued my interest. And when I read it and I actually got on a phone call with the founders and I was like, I'm going to be on that trip. I know I'll be there. And I'm like, I don't know how it looks because at the time I was still like, you know, a part of this other company and none of this had really, like, all the doors hadn't shut yet. But I'm like, all right, if I'm doing that, then this has to end. You know, it's like.
So this was a completely different company. Okay.
Completely different company. I think, like, the Lord obviously knows me way better than I know myself, but I stayed in certain friendships longer than I should have out of fear. And obviously I still care about these people. It's hard not to. But I knew, like, our season was over, but I didn't want to let go. And he knew I wasn't going to do it unless it was, like, done for me, essentially. So, yeah, I still want the best for them and, you know, still love and care about them. But, you know, that friendship is, those friendships were for that season.
Yeah.
Moving forward, I did end up going on a mission trip to Honduras with this company. It felt right because it was, like, something that I had already been doing.
Yes.
But also was the missing piece of, like, the ministry side or, like, the moral side.
Sure. As we should all have moral in our business.
Right.
Because they won't survive.
Right. So I transferred over and started with this company, went on this mission trip and met some, like, really incredible people and rekindled some past friendships that are just so simple and deep and pure. They definitely challenged me and pushed me to be the best version of myself, but not at the expense of, like, our friendship.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. Okay. So, but then it was just like, I'm not meant to be in network marketing anymore. Like, it just, like, it literally, I'm like, something still doesn't feel right. And I don't regret, like, I know that that happened. Like, that was divine intervention. That was the Lord's path for me to bring me away and kind of help me realize what exactly is, you know, it's a stepping stone. Helped me close that chapter and clear up some things.
Sure.
That led us to where we are now and our recent move. So it's hard to condense the last 2 years into a small conversation, but it was definitely just a matter of a lot of surrender and just trusting that his plans were bigger.
Yes. Which I always feel like, even if something, quote unquote, fails, which is not necessarily a failure, but it's something that was for that season, I'm sure you learned a ton of things in there.
Yes.
Like, great things, right?
Oh, yeah. There's nothing that I necessarily, like, I don't regret
doing it.
Yes. Taught me a lot, yeah.
Yeah. And knowing when it's time to let go, too.
Right.
Yes. Which sometimes are like, I felt like this with several projects that I start. Not several, but a few that I'm like, I put so much time into this. Mm-hmm. I did not want to let go, even though I knew that was just sucking my time. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, this is just not for me anymore.
Right.
And I also feel like friendships takes two sides too. And I've felt like this for a while now with just some, like, great friends, but it's just a one-sided thing that me always going and seeking. And it, you know, it can be so, and it's so sad because it's like, wow, does that mean that if I never call this person, would they ever call me? Yeah. You know what I mean?
And I think that many women, like, it's feel that way, but it's just like you almost, they don't voice it because it's like, woe is me, or like pity party. But it's true. They're like, having true friendships as an adult is really hard.
It's very hard.
And, you know, even just like finding new friendships is
even harder. Even harder. Yes.
So it's just like, you're not alone. You know, like we and even at almost 40, I'm like, dude, my feelings are hurt.
Yes. You know, like we're still human.
Yeah, we're still human. Right? Yes. And, you know, I think, but my personal experiences have also really been helpful to help me navigate my daughter's like relationships and friendships. Yeah. And she's like such an amazing communicator now because she's watched me go through like all of this stuff. And, you know, because there's so many times we've put ourselves back ourselves into a corner because we don't want to upset someone, so we don't say anything, and you know, it's just
the worst thing
it just snowballs. And now it's like, I'm not about that. I'm like, if you love me, like, tell me if I've hurt you, if you know, and I will do the same. You know, I don't want you walking around like upset because I accidentally, you know, if I said something or did something that hurt you and you didn't tell me, like that's not, like, we're done with that. That's like so childish. And like, I just want friendships where I can be honest, or, you know, if my mind starts to spiral, I'm like, you know what? I'm going to actually ask them what their intention was.
That's great.
Instead of letting my mind spiral and being mad over something that was a complete misunderstanding.
Yes. And most of the time it doesn't even happen. It's like this anxiety thing.
Right.
That we're playing all the scenarios and the person's like, wait, what?
Yeah.
Like, I didn't even know I was being absent friend or something. Right. I know I need to be better at doing that too. Just communicating is definitely key. And I think not just in friendships, but in marriages too.
For sure.
Like, right. If we don't communicate our needs, I have this problem with Brian because I assume that he should know that I'm doing this. Hey, can you come and help me? Like, look at what I'm doing. He's like, I don't have a crystal ball.
Yeah.
I don't know that you want help. I don't know that you... So doing that.
No, that's so true. That's happened many times too. And that comes with maturity in marriage as well.
It's
like, you can't just assume they know. You know, I remember times where I'd be cooking and the kids like screaming. I'm like, do you not?
I know. Like, do you not see this?
Like, well, I thought he wanted you. You know, it's like, But you just have to be very specific. And I've found myself doing that with my kids too. It's like, I have to be very specific, like with my direction and my, like, my expectations.
And how much, trouble and stress we take out of the equation when we actually tell them what we need.
Right.
It's like this magic thing happens. Like, oh, okay, I'll help you.
For sure.
Wow. So a lot of times when we come into faith, that's just an example of many things that can happen. But, you know, we feel like our values don't align with other people around or whatnot, or older friends, or, and then we end up leaving those relationships. But then how we find ourselves in a lonely place without any friends older in life, which is just, like we said, so much harder to make friends. How did you end up making friends at that stage?
This makes me think of advice I actually had given my daughter. Being authentically you is number one, because you're going to attract that same, you know, energy or, you know, wisdom and things like that. Do the things that you love, you know, like whether it's bowling. I don't know why that was the first thing I thought of, but,
bowling,
you know, or working out, or, you know, whatever it is, like, do the things you love and pay attention, you know, to who's around you. And, you know, something I always tell my daughter is like, look to see who's alone.
Yeah.
And because you want them to feel less alone. And so, like, whether she goes to like a youth group or, you know, anything, she's, it's like a natural, it's like second nature for her. And I'll be like, hey, come sit with us. You know, so it's just really putting yourself out there, almost like you're dating, but just constantly remembering that there's many women out there who are feeling the same way. And by you just like opening up that door, I mean, they might be thinking the same thing. Like, I'm gonna go in and like put myself out there, but then they panic.
You know, they don't say anything. Fearful of what?
Yeah.
Like, I know. The most that can happen is a person saying no thanks.
Yeah. So it's okay. And if you are being true to who you are, then, you know, that
might not be a good
So it's that connection might not happen, and that's okay.
Yes.
But we're not at a place to be acting like somebody else just to fit in, because that just breeds anxiety and stress and unhappiness. Yeah. Like, I don't want to appear like I'm not alone.
Yeah.
I want to actually have deep, meaningful relationships where people really care about me.
Yeah. Less friends that are actually authentic. Yeah, like quality. And like, yeah, quality.
Because, and you've probably heard the saying, like, you can be in a room full of people and still feel alone.
Yeah.
Yeah. 100%. So it's like, you could be in a crowd of people that you call your friends, but you still feel alone because you don't have that same deep connection, because there's a part of you that's not being authentic.
I love that. I have people that are very close to me. I'm not going to expose anyone in here that are in the season of like, gosh, it's being very hard to find friends. And I always say, pray for it, right? God will open doors. He'll show you people. It's actively praying for things that we want, whether it's, you know, a good marriage, a good husband, kids. And obviously, you know, it might take longer. It might, you know, not be the way at the place that you want it to be. But God's ways are better than ours, right? So you were feeling this the way that you were feeling when you were walking in that season, because he was showing you, hey, these values are no longer aligning with you. Yeah. So it's time that you close that door. And I do believe that praying over all of this, everything in our lives, God will bring it for us.
I definitely think there's no harm in praying for new friends.
Yes.
God answers prayers in ways that we never expect. I think we always kind of like put an expectation out there, or like we're like, yeah, that person would be a good friend or would be really good in this season or whatever. We kind of have this like preconceived idea of like what his answer is going to be. But if you're in a season of prayer and fasting or whatever, like your blinders are kind of more off.
Yes.
And you see the potential and opportunities and situations that you may have been blinded to before because you weren't, you know, actively preying on it.
Yes. And silencing the world and being distracted. That's another thing that's being my enemy. I've discovered this in my season of praying and fasting, that distraction has been my worst enemy. It's just watching things all the time, playing, even if it's a YouTube. I'm like highly addicted to YouTube. I love listening to things like this too. And I let it play all day long. And this is wonderful, but if it's intentional, let me sit down or let me listen to one podcast. Boom, turn it off, move on to something else. And not like something on repeat. Even like a good thing that it's too much is not, it's harmful, right? And I also wanted to say that in regarding to prayer, that our pastor likes to say, prayer should be our first response and our last resource. And I feel like a lot of us Christians, you know, included, always resort to prayer as the last resource. And no, it should be the very first thing. Like, let me pray first and then I'll act later, because God will guide me through this.
Yeah.
So now, where do you find yourself?
So we'd recently moved. We bought a farmhouse with a lot of land.
Oh my gosh.
And we will be opening a venue.
Wow. Is this the first time you're opening to the world, this news?
Yeah, really. Wow. I mean, I've kind of hinted at it on social media a couple times, but it's just really cool how it's exactly the desires of my heart, which is I love hosting. I love bringing people into my home, but also just building community and in a safe space where I'm like, they will know the Lord.
Yes. That's your way of
And so I have had many opportunities, especially within, you know, my network marketing business, to host events and build community and things like that.
So you learned a lot.
But there was always different intentions in those events. And I want this to be like a place where people gather to celebrate love and just to be with family. And I never even was pursuing, like, I wasn't even pursuing this. It wasn't even on my radar.
Really?
But it's just one of those things where, same thing, I was putting God in a box and I was like, I remember laying in my bed like, what am I supposed to do with my life? Like, after, you know, I had gone through the two companies and I was kind of like trying to find my way again. Yeah.
Thinking that another company would be the answer.
Right. Or... And so then I was like, well, we've always wanted to do like Airbnbs. Maybe I'll do that. You know, you start going through all these things. I'm like, we're going to consolidate our debt. We're going to live minimalist. You know, I just was like, it's like one extreme to the next. So
that sounds like me too.
I just try to like,
I'm like, let's really just everything in savings next day. Like, let's go to Europe tomorrow. Woo!
You know, my husband's just like, oh my gosh. So, you know, it was just like a lot of prayer. And then I'm like, okay, I think Airbnb, that sounds like something I can do. I can still work from home. It gives us, you know, just that's the entrepreneurial spirit, just like serial entrepreneurial. I'm like, oh, okay, next opportunity. So we kept making appointments to see these Airbnb, like see these potential places. And I'm like, door after door is being shut. And I'm like, this has been on the market for a year. How does it now, as soon as we schedule a showing, you know, somebody
comes in and
puts in an offer. And we're like, you know, it was like, you know, the inspection went wrong or like it was like always something. And then, I had like a tantrum and just like laying in my bed. And I was like, okay, God, I need help. Like, yeah. I really thought that this was the plan, but apparently it was mine. And, you know, it was just wait, like, you know, and so I deleted all of my like parameters on Zillow and was like, okay, I'm going to take God out of the box.
Yes.
This farmhouse was the first thing that popped up. And I was like, it caught my eye and I was like, huh, click. And then I was like, like looking at the listing. And I'm like, yes. what? You know, like this is so perfect. And then I'm like, okay, but
let's
pump the brakes.
Yeah.
You know, so I was like, and Tony's always my sounding board. Usually
so is Brian too. And I hate it at times.
I'm like, you know, I'm like, why are you always right? But I knew. And so, you know, I brought that to him and he was like, do it. He's like, that's it.
Wow.
And I was like, wait, what?
Yes.
Like, I was in complete shock. And I'm like, we need to pray about it. He's like, that, I know, that's it. That's it. And I was like, okay. Like,
wow.
All right. Heather. And so, yeah, everything happened really quickly. And there were so many things that happened along the way that straight up God thing, you know, with like delaying certain things and whatnot.
That benefited you.
That benefit. Yeah. Yes. So, you know, now we're moved in and making it home, and hopefully sometime this year we'll have a grand opening and everybody needs to come.
Goodness, I'll definitely be there. That's incredible.
We're going to call it the 1875 because it was a barn built in 1875.
Oh, gosh, I love that. I love the name.
And it can host weddings or, you know, corporate events. It's
like parties.
Yeah, and parties or like holiday parties. We've got a birthday party booked there at the end of February.
Oh, you already did?
Oh, yeah. I got my work cut out for me.
But... wow. That's amazing. So what's the capacity? Do you know?
I would say indoor, outdoor is probably 200, but just indoor comfortably probably 100.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. So you're going to have that all on your social media.
Oh, yeah.
Soon.
Yes.
Okay.
And so I've taken such a hiatus from social media, so I got to get back into the swing of that.
And now it's going to be something just for you and your family, right, which is just so much
cooler. And it's just going to, not only does it just, the desires of my heart are going to be in that place, but everything leading up to that as far as my experience in the professional world.
You're
is going
into
to
it.
Help yes. me make that place thrive.
Oh, that is so exciting. I love that. And did you always wanted to live in a farm or no? It was something that
not necessarily. We have always dreamt of having land, which naturally comes sometimes with a farmhouse. But
especially in Indiana.
Yeah. It's been a dream of ours to have land, but that hasn't really ever been ideal, you know, or in the cards for us. But.
Well, that's amazing. Congratulations.
Thank you.
And I just loved, you know, that your entire journey brought you to where you are right now. And that's not the end of it. It's just the beginning of something so incredible.
Yeah.
But nothing is wasted. I like to say this a lot for God. Like there's a saying that this girl I heard, she's a Brazilian, and she says, nothing is in vain. If it's not a blessing, it's a lesson.
Mm-hmm.
And so whatever it is that you're walking through in your life right now, just know that there's a big lesson in there. And the hardest moments of my life, that's just one thing. One of my spiritual gifts, I think it's faith, like radical faith. And I love that because I do. And I proclaim that out loud. Lord, I know that this is a lesson.
Mm-hmm.
But you better teach me just real fast because this is, you know, it's really hard. It's really hard walking those walls.
Yeah.
But you know, that's great that you were able to walk away from this. So I think that that's a huge lesson too for people watching us going through something that they're seeing in their jobs, that you see things happening that are not aligning with your values. You know, it's time to think of the option.
And I think a huge lesson for me was just taking ownership in my part in it, because we can't change people.
No,
we can only change us. Right. So it's just, it's hard to admit when you're at fault, but I just, that was one of the things I fervently prayed for, was like, reveal my flaws in this situation and just like help me do better.
That's very humbling.
Because, you know, every, in any friendship, it's definitely a two-way street.
Yeah.
So there's definitely things that I probably could have done differently, but just owning that and doing better the next time.
I love that. I'm actually going to adopt this, review my flaws, because usually I'm like, Lord, equip me to do something. But revealing my flaws is like, help me to work on this, because he wants us to be humble.
Because sometimes we don't even realize that it's a flaw.
We're so caught up into our own, like, I'm such a great person.
Like, no one wants to dwell on their own flaws.
No, no. So that's very humbling. I love that. Thank you so much for sharing all of your wisdom. I wish you all the best with the new venue. I hope that I'm able to visit. And yes, and thank you so much for sharing your story with us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Of course. Would you like to close us in prayer?
Oh, sure.
Okay.
Yeah. Father, thank you so much for this beautiful day and for this conversation. God, I pray that it would bless those who listen. I pray that you would rid us of distraction, and Lord, let this not be about us. I pray that your name is glorified through each and every podcast episode. I pray for anyone who is struggling in their personal life with friendships or marriage. God, I pray blessings over them. I pray that you would give them comfort in these seasons. Bless Karina and Heather as they continue to build this podcast. I pray that it would be an inspiration, it would be eye-opening, and it would be God-honoring. And I ask all these things in your name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you so much for joining us today, friends. I hope you guys are walking away feeling encouraged and maybe even a little lighter. Make sure to subscribe and drop a comment or review so we can keep this faith-filled community growing. Share this episode if it touched you or if you know someone who needs to hear it. Let's spread the love. I'll see you next week on Karina Faith Diaries. And until then, stay strong, stay kind, and keep the faith.